Welcome to Career Crossroads. I'm your host, Jonathan Colleton, and if you're struggling with a career decision or work with people who need help making career decisions, I am glad you are here. Today on Career Crossroads, we have the second episode of CC Shorts, where I speak to someone about a particular moment in their career where things changed. Today's guest is Andy Thibodeau, who makes his living as a motivational speaker amongst many other titles that we talk about during his interview, going into elementary schools, high schools, and universities across Canada and the United States. If you want to find out what happens when COVID-19 shuts down your entire industry for 2 years, keep listening. Andy, welcome to the podcast. Really happy to have you here on Career Crossroads.
Fantastic. Great to be here, Jonathan. One of my passions in my over 30 years of speaking has been inspiring young people to pursue their dreams, their careers, what's best for them, especially in that transitional time of, you know, grade 11, 12 into that next step. And so when I found out that was a similar passion for yourself, both with young people and people of all ages as they transition with careers, because, you know, we all know that statistic, people change careers 7 times. I know with my brother, he's definitely at 7, if not at 8. And I'm actually a rarity with the same career since 92. So on that, we share a passion. So to be invited to be a part of that and share my rather unique journey in the last 3-4 years is appreciated. So thank you, Jonathan.
Yeah, no problem. So clearly a bit of foreshadowing there that you have been in the same career for a very long time, almost 35 years. And that doesn't mean that it has been a smooth ride the entire time. And that's what we're going to get into when we talk about your crossroads. But let's start off with what it is that you have been doing for the majority of the last 35 years. You are a motivational speaker, a person that goes into schools, gets kids excited, gets them to help one another. You have many different things that you do in the presentations that you do. So tell me about the journey to starting that kind of career and what it's been like over, you know, in the early years, I suppose, of when you were getting started.
You got it. I guess the title I give myself is motivational comedian, leadership trainer, and especially with my grades 1 to 5 presentation, children's entertainer. And so started in 1988 when I was the newly elected student president of Laurier Secondary School here in London. You can actually see the logo right there. And I had won the election because nobody ran against me. And I had this idea about inspiring the grade 8s in June before they became our grade 9s that fall back in the day when my school was a grade 9 to 13 building. They, of course, got rid of grade 13 in Ontario back in 2002. And it was the very first time, Jonathan, that I thought really differently about a presentation. That is, by that time in your life, by grade 12, you maybe had done an election speech or two, in my case, two classroom presentations. But this is where I was thinking about inspiration and making change in somebody's life. And so I never really had thought about a presentation like that. And little did I know how much I would enjoy that, how much I would enjoy that process of being an educator and an entertainer at the same time, education and entertainment at the same time. And that was my first challenge to myself. Hey, what can I share with these grade eights? Well, I remember the premise of it. What do I know now as a grade 12 that I wish I knew in grade 8? And started, you know, creating a list. And then how do I get that across in a way that's entertaining, memorable? It's going to make them, you know, not only pay attention, but hopefully act on it. And that was the basis of my first motivational talk, which was called Dare to Care. Now that's morphed into Share Your Care. And even when I left high school, I continued to do these free talks every spring. The feedback I got was always positive. The schools wanted me back because, well, at first, they loved the price. I was free. But also that the grade 8s were impacted and felt they were walking into grade 9 a little bit more prepared based on my experiences, especially with the premise of letting themselves care. That is, show up, don't miss things. When you show up, participate, let yourself answer questions in class, dress up with the spirit day, be part of the activities, and then let yourself listen, which forms the basis of that Share Your Care assembly to this day, show up, participate, and listen. And my big break came in December of 91. Stu Saunders was a great friend and a fellow student council leader with me at Laurier Secondary School. And he had volunteered to speak at a conference for all the London area schools. But he was given 90 minutes to talk. So knowing I was already a Welcome Week leader at King's College Western University, where I was going through to become a high school history geography teacher. And so for me, the speaking at that time, a few times a year in June, was a way of gaining teaching experience. Never was thinking career, Jonathan. Never was thinking career. Teaching was going to be the career. So Stu calls me and said, "Hey, Andy, I know you already do free speeches for grade eights. Hey, Andy, I know you know you're already a Welcome Week leader. You're active in your university. And I know you want to be a teacher. Would you help me with this leadership workshop?" "Great," I said. There it was, early December. I'm in third year university. And now we're taking notes on what do we know now as student leaders that we wish you knew in grade nine as student leaders, creating this, our very first leadership workshop. And I still remember the title, "The Three P's of Successful Student Leadership: Preparation, Permission, and Promotion." That would morph into a workshop I still do to this day called Making Care Contagious. And so we spoke, hour and a half. And I remember thinking, "Jonathan, oh, I like this. I wouldn't mind doing this again. I can see myself doing one or two of these maybe a year across, you know, a year as I pursue my speaking, my teaching career." Well, little did I know that three schools would come up to us afterwards. "Wow, you guys are great. How much you cost? Speak at our school." I did whisper to Stu, "Stu, how much do we cost, man?" They just paid us in a 20-pack of Timbits, and I'm not making that up. And three of those Timbits were plain, so they don't even count. So 17 Timbits was how I was first paid. Oh, wait, I got to split those with Stu. 8.5 Timbits was my very first paycheck in December of 91. And even when I started after my first professional speech, February 13th, 1992, so I just celebrated 31 years of being a professional speaker, I honestly, Jonathan, thought $50 here, $100 there, pay for books, go off to Althaus Teachers College, make my way on my journey to become a high school principal. But something happened. The early 90s, there just wasn't much in the way of Canadian motivational speakers, speakers willing to visit schools of all sizes, from Mississauga in Ontario to Sackville in both Nova Scotia and New Brunswick. Hey, I learned that there's a Sackville in both, though apparently the one in Halifax is called Lower Sackville. We learned the difference. And by the fall of 92, I only took one course in university and started to focus on speaking. And by the fall of 93, there was so much opportunity, I went full-time with my speaking. I traveled with Stu from 92 to early 99. We then split the work on the same company, and we were Andy or Stu. And since 2001, I've been totally on my own as Andy Thibodeau Impact Presentations. Stu and I remain very close friends. In fact, I just texted with him an hour ago. He's running a large leadership conference in London next week called the Global Student Leadership Conference, and I'll be an MC and a leadership trainer at that event. He's more focused on events now while I continue to focus on my speaking. So it's been 31 years specializing in school assemblies for grades 1 to 12, college university presentations. And when it comes to adults, my specialty are educators in both elementary, secondary, and college university settings, and those involved in charity and community groups. And it's been a wonderful lifestyle that is, shall we say, back full bore after the challenges of the last 4 years.
Yeah, and the challenges of the last 4 years are certainly what we're going to get into. You know, between the time when you and Stu split up and when you have been doing Andy's Impact Presentations, I guess I didn't realize that I first interacted with you shortly after that happened, because I think it was 2003 when I entered high school and you came up to Camp White Pine during my grade 9 orientation camp and spoke there. And that was the first of, I believe, 10 times or 9 times I saw you speak between high school and university, because much like you were, I was a very involved student leader. And so that led to then me hiring you in 2013 when I was working at the University of Waterloo. And then I moved around a residence, moved back on to Toronto, where I'm originally from, and sort of lost touch with you there because I didn't need that type of work that you do in the role that I was in. And so I headed off in one path, you headed down your path. And then in 2020, something very interesting happened. A little something called COVID-19 hit, and that shut down universities and schools and basically everything other than very essential things like medical, like groceries, restaurants could deliver, all that kind of stuff. And so for someone doing what you did, traveling around the country, your career just comes to a standstill all of a sudden because the thing that you do is not able to be done anymore.
It was March 12th. I was at Petticoatiac Regional High School and Salisbury Regional High School in New Brunswick. I'm walking out of Salisbury and Stu calls me and he's running the second version of his global conference. The fourth one is coming up, as I said, in 2 weeks. And he said, I've canceled the global conference. I don't think anything's going to go ahead. I was like, oh. Then, oh, Stu, hold the phone. I hung up on him. My mother of my children, my ex-wife, who's still very close with to this day, is calling me. And she's a teacher. She said, oh, they're extending March break by 2 weeks. She was wrong. They're extending March break by 7 months. And that was a beginning of an incredibly difficult 48 hours where I had 31 cancellations come through my text and inbox and my email, and my career ground to a halt that March 12th or 14th. And on the 17th, I was on a conference call with Stu and some other speakers that included also commentary from a Dr. Greg Wells, who is a consultant to the Canadian Olympic team and a friend of Stu's. And the quote he gave us was, it'll be 2 years before you're in a school. And I come off that call with Stu, tears in my eyes, Jonathan. Well, what am I going to do next? I mean, like anybody, I got savings, but 2 years of savings? And he said only, and then he said that best case scenario. And right, and he was right, because it would be 27 months, Jonathan, between school assemblies. So he was pretty close to being bang on correct. Not bad, wow. You know, in that March of 2020. And I also knew I was a people person, right? And the idea of lockdown, which again was like, even think about it, just come flowing off my tongue now. But at the time, it was not flowing off anybody's tongue. And I just knew I was a people person. So the first thing I did was I went to go see my my Mabondo nieces. As you know, I had three young ladies from Congo live with me for 10 months, and their dad was a good friend. And when we finally got the wife and seven children here, his three oldest lived with me until their housing situation got settled. And so I didn't lose two bedrooms. I gained three daughters, and they called me Uncle Andy, and I call them my nieces. So I went to go visit them at the new place they were living at after leaving my home a few months earlier, because they just lifted my spirit. And that began a career change that I didn't expect. And what I want your listeners to first take from that is when you go and seek encouragement or go to a place where you know you'll be lifted up, again, whether it's around other people, whether it's meditation, whether it's a book, whatever it is, get yourself into that space. Because then when you start thinking clearly, you remotivate yourself. Because sometimes, you know, shock happens, whether it's a divorce, mm-hmm. whether it's a job loss, whether it's a global crisis, whether it's a death, an illness diagnosis, you know, whatever it might be, you need to get into a space. And for me, that space was I need to be amongst fun people. And that's what began everything, because Beth, their landlord, was a friend and said, how are you doing? Like, genuinely interested, not just how you doing, but how are you doing? This must be tough on you. You're a speaker, you're a people person. You're losing all your bookings. How's this? And I was honest. I said, it's terrible. I don't know what I'm going to do. She said, well, Ariel, her daughter, super busy at Loblaws right now. You should apply to a grocery store or Loblaws like hers. And I initially laughed it off, Jonathan. Oh, yeah, you know, because I have no experience in that. I've never worked a till in my life. I've never worked retail in my life. I'm a professional speaker. I travel North America. I'm the entertainer. I'm the center of attention. So I'm driving away after that conversation. And she texted me, well, if you change your mind, here's Ariel's number. And Jonathan, that was the mental slap I needed. First off, the mental slap of, hey, how nice of her that even though I kind of shut her down, maybe not as aggressively as I just said, but you know, in my brain, I was kind of thinking that. But good on her to follow up. You know, when you say to somebody you're going to do something, follow up. Or if you know somebody that you love or you like is in a difficult spot, give them that additional little push. You never know. And I'm so appreciative that Beth gave me that additional little push, because it was on the corner of, you know, literally of, you know, Adelaide Street and Cheapside, just one block away. I get that text from her and I literally slap my face. What are you doing? What are you doing? It's a global crisis, Andy, and Canadian Tire's about to close in a day. And if Canadian Tire's closed, that means what? Walmart, Shoppers, and the grocery store. That's it. That is it. And when are they going to reopen? And you got three rental properties with renters. What if they stop paying rent? Like, this is 3 weeks before they announced, you know, $1,000 a month for people, which, by the way, am I going to be able to live on that? Like, wake up. Global crisis. Act. And that shook me out of my stupor. I went home and I went on the website for Loblaws and Costco because I thought to myself, well, what's staying open? And where do I know people? And I knew Ariel at Loblaws and I knew a few people at the London North Costco. And that began my process to apply to Costco and Loblaws. Next day, Costco called me, and I think you know the rest of the story. I got hired 2 hours later.
So a lot of people, when I'm speaking to people about career change, a lot of them, it's this gradual change where over time they begin to realize that the thing they're doing isn't what they like anymore. And they, you know, I've talked openly about this myself, that like, for me, it's been this thought of, okay, well, what if I don't like this anymore at some point? What else can I even do? So the search process begins way before you've ever left the job you're even in. Your situation was just so quick where suddenly there is no possible way to do what you do. And everything you just said about being a people person, that's gone too. It's not just the job. It's not just the paycheck. It's the things that make you happy because you enjoyed doing that job, doing the job as a speaker that you've done. So good for you for eventually recognizing and having that push from this friend of yours, because like that is the thing that I think some people really need when they kind of get stuck in a situation as you kind of were. It wasn't something you planned for. It just kind of happened to you very suddenly. So, you know, Costco, you said you had no experience doing anything like that. You apply. Tell me about what happened there and what that experience was like, because it was so different than what you were doing.
Well, and I just made this statement again today when I was chatting with somebody on the phone from Dalhousie High School there in Northern New Brunswick, when she got a little background on my story throughout 2020. And that is, even in the depths of 2020, when it was bad, especially I was thinking in November of 2020, when the COVID cases were going back up, and I was thinking to myself, oh my gosh, it's not going to be a normal Christmas. I also thought, but when normal comes back, this is going to be great speaking material. Like I'm literally creating gold speaking material, because it's one thing to talk to a careers class. It's one thing to talk to grade nines. It's one thing to talk about to a trade school, whatever it might be, and say, oh, my brother did this, or my sister did this, or when I was 21, I did this. Now to know that, hey, when I was 50 and I did this, when I was 50 and I had to take orders from a 28-year-old, when I was 50 and I had to look at a 21-year-old and go, how do you do this again, right? Not just the humbling aspect of that, but the educational aspect of that and the idea of the lifelong learner that we often preach in our colleges, universities, in our schools, right? And so first big lesson is the power of asking for help and the power of complementing that of continuing to get education. So a few years before COVID, I attended a workshop in Newfoundland that was encouraging grade nines and tens to stay in Newfoundland after their post-secondary and be part of the economy in Newfoundland. I was the opening speaker, doing kind of a careers-focused version of one of my assemblies. And then one of the blessings of these conferences is I can then attend workshops if I'm not speaking. And I happened to attend this one workshop. And this man said something to the students that I stuck with me in the depths of my own personal crisis. When he said, your employers meet your resume before they meet you. Your employers meet your resume before they meet you. So make sure your resume sticks out. And of course, at the time when I heard it, I didn't need a resume. I've been doing the same job for almost 30 years. Tuesday, March 17th, 2020. Both Costco and Loblaws require a resume. Jonathan, I really didn't have one. I've had the same job since I was 21. I had kind of a CV from applying to the United States every year, every 5 years for my U.S. work visa, which I just confirmed my appointment. I'll be getting my next U.S. work visa in a couple weeks' time. But I guess it was kind of resume. So I was about to send it when I remembered this statement, employers meet your resume before they meet you. And I thought, is this the best I can do to portray myself to these companies? Wait a second. my wife, teaches resume building. Two grade nines as part of the BTT curriculum here in Ontario, Introduction to Computers and Careers in Business. So I said, hey, before I send it off, Liz, would you take a look at my resume? She said, sure, great. I send her over a digital copy. 10 minutes later, what do you think? Her exact words were, Jonathan, it sucks. I said, don't hold back. Tell me the truth. Obviously not the content, she said, you know. Professional speaker for 28 years, you own 3 rental properties, travel in North America, you run your own business. Not the content, the formatting. It's ugly, it's awful, it's not modern. Give me 20 minutes, come over here and sit with me. And she showed me things that I didn't know that Microsoft Word could do. Okay, bluntly, because I didn't really need to do that in my own job. And 25 minutes later, and I show students now in my presentation, I show students my old resume. I show them the statement, employers meet your resume before they meet you. That is the power of getting an education. Going to workshops, continue to get educated, take notes. Never know where inspiration comes from. And then asking for help. All right. Oh, wait a second. And then the difference between the two resumes is night and day. Like, it's hilarious how much she improved it. Just streamlined it, made it more professional. And so just before midnight that night, I submitted these two resumes. And next day I took my mom for a walk in my car. That would be the last time my mom would be in my car for almost a year. Because, you know, the first initial lockdown was, yeah, it's a lockdown. But it really is until a week later when people are like, no, it's a lockdown. And and I get a phone call at 11 o'clock. Hey, can you be at Costco by 1 o'clock? And I was almost literally hired on the spot. Because Costco lost between 30 and 40% of its employees like that. Anybody with any sort of immune deficiency, anybody who was a little bit older, anybody who was overwhelmed by stress, anybody that had to take care of people at home, they suddenly left and they went on, health plan there for Costco. So they suddenly had an influx of people that had come in, and I happened to be one of them. And it would be a 10-month part of my life in 2020 that helped transition me to virtual talking that fall.
Wow. Yeah, that's a very unique experience, because even when you got into it, I'm sure you knew, or you hoped, this was a temporary situation. It's not like you had a big career shift where you were going from one thing to another and you knew it was going to be forever. Unless a total collapse of society, you were probably going to end up back in a classroom one day, or virtual, as you mentioned. So, you know, I often, when I think about doing these conversations, one of the things I want to ask people is about, did you ever think you would go back? But for you, obviously you did. And so, you've gone back to what it is that you did before. You did virtual for a time. Last September, I had you come in and talk to the residence advisors at UTSC. We were just chatting before we hit record here that this is the busiest you've been in a long time. It's insanely busy right now because everyone is looking to backfill all the things they missed out on over COVID times. So when you think back on this experience of having to switch careers and then, you know, work your way back into what you're doing, because it was a gradual process to some. Is there anything that you think you would have done differently, or things you've kind of reflected on now where you've thought, wow, I didn't know this was going to be like that while I was doing this?
I don't know about doing differently, because that's so such a unique time. But what I can share to your listeners is a couple main insights. One, that taking on leadership roles and challenging yourself gives you skills in conflict resolution, time management, motivating yourself that are just beyond invaluable. And as somebody that had challenged myself in college, university, high school, had challenged myself at my place of worship, I challenged myself in the community to be a part of things like my Scottish Clan Association, to volunteering to speak for free as much as I can to my former schools as my way of giving back, whatever it might be. That basis translates so well into the workforce, because within a month, month and a half, some things were coming at me at Costco that were so complimentary, that people were so complimentary about my work ethic, about how I approached things, how I approached people, how I dealt with stress, how I was a people person. And because I'd been surrounded by student leadership speakers and professional speakers, because I was a leadership trainer, because I dealt with student council advisors and principals, so I was always dealing with that kind of high energy, motivated, organized type of person. Many with pretty advanced degrees and diplomas, that you bring that into a situation, people are touched and moved by it. And yet I was thinking to myself, oh, but that's just who I am. Now, I do want to counter that with Costco has all levels of education as amongst their employees. And I was totally blown away by everybody. I was inspired by the wide range of skill sets, countries of origin, language skills. It was just all so impressive to me that the speed some people could work those tills, their grasp of where products were in the store, their grasp of people management. I was just so impressed. I guess my natural gifts of conversation and enthusiasm still, I felt, didn't measure up to some other people's skills in other sets. Like, I just was never going to be as fast as other people were on that, the tills. So my managers found me, put me in places that did match my skill set. So for example, you're probably looking at the very first person in Canada, and I'm not making this up, that said the following: before you start your shift, I want to review the following health issues. Please tell me if you're experiencing any following conditions: shortness of breath, difficulty breathing. And I start going through this list. Because you see, what happened was Costco was still open, obviously, April of 2020. We may have been the first to implement the pre-shift health screening. And you're looking at the first one of two or three people that were asked to do that. And the blunt explanation from my manager was, Andy, you already know half the store. And you've only been here a month. And we need people to be truthful. And you give off that air that people want to be truthful to you. And they respect you. And we want people that people, a person that people respect. So right away, I was put in a position, certainly not a better paying position or anything like that, but definitely a leadership position, and at the time of COVID, a key position that got people thinking, hey, I do have to manage my own health. And if I don't feel well, don't go to work. This is not like, you know, suck it up, buttercup, just a few months earlier, work through that cold. No, it can be more than a cold. And so that's what I want to get across to your listeners, that when you continue to challenge yourself with leadership opportunities in your place of work, in your school, it gives you skills that people will notice. But at the same time, I was just so impressed that one doesn't need that advanced education to be a leader, and that one does not need that advanced education to be exceptional in certain jobs. And like I said, I was totally impressed by the 24/7 nature of a place like Costco, and how, yeah, when it was needed and essential, Costco, Walmart, and Shoppers, and Dollarama, you know, there's a lot of people stepped up in very, very unique ways when society needed them. And I was blessed to be alongside those moms and dads and grandparents and 17-year-olds and 61-year-olds.
So obviously you've, given the job that you do now, been able to really reflect upon that experience, because you mentioned it creating also some of the content that you're able to use today now that you're back doing what you're doing. So Andy, appreciate you coming on and telling me this whole story. If people want to get in touch with you to hire you to do what it is that you do so well, where can they find you?
AndyPresentations.com, AndyPresentations.com. And as I said, my specialty is schools. Like I said, I emcee charity events and speak to people of all ages that are involved in community organizations, charities, their places of worship, but so many people have connections to schools, and as you know, that's one of my real passions. So I do appreciate this opportunity to share these insights.
Again, thanks so much, Andy, and have a good rest of your day.
Thank you so much.
All right, that was my conversation with Andy. I touched on this during our conversation, but I want to revisit how quickly things changed for Andy. COVID shut down his world in a matter of 2 days, but it also only took him 5 days to get a job at Costco after COVID-19 was declared a pandemic. Sure, that is a quick turnaround, but you know what else was quick? The response of his friend who, as he put it, mentally slapped him into realizing that he needed to act. This is just another example of why you should talk to people when you are struggling. Friends, family, career coaches, talk to whoever you trust about the reality of your situation, because maybe one of them will give you the mental slap you need to move forward. That's all for this week's episode of Career Crossroads. If you know someone who would benefit from hearing about Andy's career path or the work that he does now, please share this episode with them. And if you want to hear more interviews like this, go to careercrossroads.ca or follow the podcast on any podcast player out there.